Well, good morning, Keystone. How are you? Hey, finish this with me. It's beginning to look a lot
like Christmas.
Very good. Man, I hope that you're excited to be here as we start our Christmas season. It does feel like Christmas. I mean, we've decorated our houses. There's lights on our house. Trees are up. And even in this place, you walk in and there's Christmas trees around, and singing has started this morning with a Christmas song. And listen, there's something that happened in this room that you're unaware of. Yesterday, Keystone hosted Ankeny Centennial Choir. That's almost 400 students in their choirs. And then this room was full twice with sold tickets. And it was just an incredible time to have that whole school district, or the Ankeny Centennial School, in here. And here's my favorite part, is that they ended, they call it Festival of Choirs. As they ended that, they ended it with Handel's Messiah, which is awesome to hear the students sing that. And I'm a choir kid, shout out, anyone? All right, so I'm a choir kid, and so I still can sing tenor two to what's the last song? The Hallelujah Chorus, my gosh. So the Hallelujah Chorus, and so in the middle of it, I started singing. Carrie very clearly gave me the elbows, like, this isn't your choir, Mr. Mentor, shut up. And so I did that. And so, man, it feels like Christmas, and I'm excited to jump in. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is where we're gonna be. We're gonna talk a little bit about the names of Jesus through the prophet Isaiah. But here's something that I wanna start off with, because as in our culture, I feel like we are information rich, but wisdom poor. Let me give an example of, like, one of the earlier times I recognized this reality. We had our first child in November, the beginning of November. And we lived out of state of our parents for most of our marriage. That's been true of us. It's not true anymore. But we would travel. And so we had our daughter the very beginning of November, and we needed to travel to my hometown just a few weeks later. So it's really awesome when you have your first child, you're sleep deprived, and you have to go to a different state, live in a different place, and do all the things. I felt like I had an advanced degree in packing a car with baby stuff. So we're like, we move and we take off, and my folks are divorced. And so there's like 10,000 stops you got to make over Christmas. So we finally wanted to introduce to my mama and papa their grandchild. And so we go over there, and my mama could tell we were carrying the weight of the world with us. We were stressed. We were sleep deprived. We were first parents that had no clue what we were doing. Some first-time parents say amen to that, right? Zero clue what you're doing, but you're wound tighter than a drum, because you have all these expectations. You've read so much information, and you feel like you have to do everything right, and we were exhausted. And my mama could tell that. And she looked at me one, and she said, "Brent, I can tell you're stressed." And I was like, "Yeah, mama, like, there's like all this stuff." I think she could notice, because I was like, "We need to put the baby down now. Don't hold it too long." Like, we were just way too many things. And she looked at me, she's like, "Why are you so stressed?" Like, "Mama, like, there's so much we have to do. Like, we have to have the baby take a nap and then come see you and then put him down and then go to this." It was just blah, 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 blah. And she looked at me and she said, "Brent, all you have to do is bring him home and love him." And I'm like, "You're right." But at the same time, mama, we read What to Expect While You're Expecting. And then, like, we got home, and there's like, "You got to do this in sleep cycle. And if you don't do this in the first 48 hours, they're never going to love you ever again." And we read this, and there's like all these things that we thought we were going to mess up our kids, because we were information rich, but we were wisdom poor. And my mama in that moment was like, "Brent, just bring the children home and love them." And I feel like that's such a beautiful story, because in our lives, brothers and sisters, we live in an information world. Like, there is unfettered access to anything. Anything you want to know, you are one AI prompt, one Google search, one look on Reddit, one YouTube video from finding the answer of anything you could possibly want to know. Unbelievable amounts of information. And not only is there unbelievable amounts of information, we put ourselves in the midst of that river of information. I looked up and tried to find the most recent studies. The most recent studies for Americans who have social media, the average is over 2 hours a day on social media. So not only are we we have unfettered access, we put ourselves in the river of that information. And listen, we are always 30 second video away from convincing yourself that you're parenting wrong, you're eating and working out wrong, you're investing wrong, you're believing wrong, you're voting wrong. I mean, there's at any moment, information can come and overwhelm us. And the reality is we are information rich, but wisdom poor. And here's the reason that's a terrible news. Because life is complicated. Like, life requires unbelievable amounts of wisdom. It's not always complicated, like my mama said to me, right? But we can often be so overwhelmed with information that we miss wisdom. And this is the good news of Jesus for us at Christmas. Because we open Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, one of the things that we're gonna find out today and discuss today is Jesus is a wonderful counselor. And there's plenty of information on Jesus in the Bible, but at the end of the day, true wisdom comes from him. If you don't mind, turn there in Isaiah. Let me just give a little bit of detail. I don't have a lot of time because I'm preaching a little bit shorter today, so I can talk about celebration. You look at the book of Isaiah, it's at the time where the people of God had not been walking with God. And there was a real threat of the Assyrian Empire coming down. Remember when we did Ezra and the Assyrians had come and got him? This is pre all of that. And the warning was there. And Ahaz, one of the kings inside of Israel and Judah, had made terrible decisions. Instead of seeking the Lord, he was going to Assyria for help. So the nation of Israel is a hot mess. And Isaiah comes to bring judgment against them, but he also comes to talk about the one who can finally bail them out of all their trouble, because no earthly king could do it. There's a new Messiah and he's coming. We read all about him in 7, 8, and 9. And then we actually see a lot of his life as the suffering servant at the end in 50 and 60. And we want to jump into now and talk about this Jesus that Isaiah is prophesying. This is Isaiah 9, verse 6. I had actually had a professor in seminary who was South African, and he always pronounced Isaiah, Isaiah. And so I might slip today because I just thought it sounded really cool. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says this, "For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." These four phrases will be the topics over the Christmas season for us. Before we jump into that, I want to just bring this phrase that is there before the names, that is a very unique phrase that we need to stop and appreciate a little bit. It says this, that the government will be on his shoulders. This is unique. We need to actually unpack it a little bit because it sounds cool and maybe you've heard that in a song, but what does that mean? I think there's a couple of ways for us to think about this. Number one is the government as a reality. Government was a burden in the ancient world. Assyria was about to be a burden on top of Israel. At any moment, the king in ancient world could say, you have to give us this much. You have to send your sons to war. The government was always pressure on the people. And so here, he's saying, the government will no longer be pressure on you, it'll be on Jesus. But beyond that, it's government as a concept, which is ruling. So a government's job is to bring rule and order to life. And what the scripture is saying is government as a concept is that Jesus will take the weight of ruling the world and put it on his own shoulders. This is so important because the idea is our shoulders will be spared from the weight of having to rule our life and bringing our own wisdom and judgment and rule of our own lives. And the burden will be put on the shoulders of Jesus. He takes the pressure of the rule of our life. He is our wonderful counselor. And of all the four names, this wonderful counselor has the qualifications and descriptions of the one who would rule. Because in the context, among Ahaz and all the other dumb rulers of the day, they were messing it up incredibly. And he's like, Jesus, this Messiah is the one who can come and rule and reign our life in wisdom and in counsel. Jesus is our wonderful counsel. Let's start this morning. We're gonna break down these two words. Jesus is wonderful. What does that word wonderful mean? The word used here is a word that it's used 80 times in the Old Testament, and almost the vast majority, almost all the times that it is mentioned, it has to do with the idea that Jesus is mighty and his works are unbelievable. I read a commentator who actually said that this word is as close as the Old Testament has to supernatural. So when it says wonderful, it's like, it's not just like a, oh, that's really beautiful. I'm looking at the snow. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. That's not the idea of the word. The idea of the word is it's miraculous. It's powerful. Only God could do this. It's a word ascribed to God. So let me give examples. It's not used this way, but the idea of this word wonderful is like when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, wonderful. Only God could do that. That's supernatural. Or when David kills Goliath, wonderful. Only God could do that. When people enter the promised land, it's wonderful. The Messiah, Jesus, will be full of supernatural ability and works. Let me talk about why this is important theologically. Jesus is not just another teacher or another foreign leader or another ancient leader. Jesus, it's not that Jesus is just like from a biblical perspective, like another David or another Moses, or even from a historical perspective, like an Alexander the Great or Caesar. That's not who Jesus is. The scripture, the wonderful, that word here is like Jesus is actually God. He isn't just a good guy. He isn't just a guy that'll be born in Bethlehem and it's got some stuff. He actually is God. He is wonderful. Let me give you a quick application for this. First of all, for you non-believers in the room, you're like, I'm here, but I don't know that I believe in this Jesus. If that's you, I would encourage you to investigate whether you think Jesus is the Son of God. Because the answer to that question changes everything. So investigate that claim. Look into it. There's actually a book called Case for Christ, someone who set out to prove that he's not actually the Son of God. Surely, surely not. But I would encourage you, look at the prophecies of the Old Testament. Look what happened in the New Testament. Look at the history. Ask God, is that true? So investigate it. But believer, we have to remind ourselves, Jesus just isn't a lyric or a necklace or a quick verse we read in the Bible to pick us up. Jesus is God, and he should be treated as God. Act like it, believer. But not only wonderful and he is God, he is our counselor. What's crazy here is in the context is Isaiah's writing is this is so juxtaposed to the leaders that Israel was experiencing in that moment. Ahaz and many other leaders were just walking away from God. They were not following God in any way. And here Isaiah says this new son to be born, he's a wonderful counselor. Even the good kings messed up, but this rule and reign of the Messiah is full of wise divine counsel. What do we mean by counselor? It's not like when we're in elementary or high school, the counselor who gets us into college. It's not the counselor who maybe as you're in adult life or a period of life, you're going through some difficulties, you go to a counselor to help you unpack it. It's not a counselor like as an attorney helping you get through legal issues. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. So I'm saying all these, just get this idea. Jesus is not a life coach. He's not just like a counselor when you need something and it's a little bit of a problem. He is fully God, but he has supernatural wisdom for planning and decision-making in your life. He's not just a good guy with some good advice and the life coach. He is the Son of God with the ability to have divine wisdom. We could talk about this in a million ways, but I want to give you two ways that I think that he gives us counsel in today's world. Number one is his word and teaching. His word and teaching. I think some of the best moments of, and it's not just me, like the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, is the magnum opus of Jesus's teaching. It's full of like challenging the heart, understanding his kingdom and how it works. And right after the end of all of his teaching, the chapter 7 resolves like this. This is how the chapter ends because his word and teaching is incredible counsel for us. This is what it says, Matthew 7:28. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Jesus is not a normal teacher. He has the very words of God under the authority of God. His teaching is unbelievable. When you hear it, like go read Sermon on the Mount, But not only that, like the Bible actually explains a little bit more about Jesus' teaching. It's not just he had like a one-hit wonder in Matthew 5:7. This is what the rest of the Bible says about Jesus' teaching. John 12:49 says this, "For I have not," this is Jesus speaking, "for I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said." So it's like, Jesus is like, my teaching is not just me, I'm actually speaking the words of the Father. It's this beautiful interlapped Trinitarian reality in a lot of what we're gonna talk about in Isaiah 9:26. Guys, his teaching is not just good advice. It's not. It's the very words of God to counsel us through life. Like it holds. It holds. It's the reason we're reading a book that is well over 2,000 years old, because it is true and it holds. But not only is it his teaching, his word is teaching, listen, this, it's his understanding. I hope that I can paint this right for you, because personally, as I'm sitting in my own devotional chair in the morning, I feel like this is one of the most tender things for me about walking with God. It's his understanding. Because he is fully God, he can teach us. But listen, because he is fully human, he can understand us. This is Matthew 4:15. He sympathizes with our weakness. Look what it says. "For we do not have a high priest." That's what the book, the writer of Hebrews refers to Jesus as the high priest. He is a high priest, but he's referring to Jesus. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Anybody else weak in this room? Like, he sympathizes with us. He understands us. But listen, "but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin." Jesus understands our weakness because he was tempted just like we were. He was betrayed just like we are betrayed. He had to forgive people. He had to grieve the loss of some of his dear friends. He understands what we walk in. We think of Jesus as like, oh, here's this 2,000-year-old guy who, you know, has some good teaching. No, he walked dirt with dirty feet. He had to be hungry. He had to cry. Like, he had all of these things. And the scripture says it's so that he could sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He understands us. But look what it says right after verse 15. It's not that that's just a cool idea to say. Verse 16 says, here's what we can do with that. "Therefore, since he understands our weaknesses, and since he's been tempted, he knows everything what it feels like to be human. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." Yes, he's fully God. He has the teachings of God, but he's also fully human and knows what it's like to be human. And he actually writes in scripture so that when you feel underwater, you can come to him and he can sympathize with you. That's Jesus. That is the wonderful counselor. He can give us counsel because he has walked this earth himself. And Jesus understands and invites us to come. I'm gonna give an example. So let's say like it's kind of in the winter season. It's in the season where we get sick. Let's just say that you have some level of sickness, right? A cold, COVID, flu, bronchitis, strep throat. We could keep going, but it would be disgusting, right? So you are sick, and it's not like you just got sick. It's like you got sick, and as you got over it, you didn't really ever get over it. And you're on day 10, and you have had fever for 5 days, and you're like, I need some help. Let me tell you where you're not going. You're not gonna go to the mechanic and be like, hey, I've had fever and a cough. He's like, bro, get out of here. I do brakes. Pause. Do you know how many of us, feeling the weakness of our bodies, the temptations of sin, the counsel we need, and we go to the internet instead of the Son of the living God? He understands. He's walked. He has the very words of life. And yet we so often go to other places rather than Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, our wonderful counselor. So the question is like, It's easy for me to preach that. And you're like, but Brent, I'm living in the 21st century in my house. I got real problems. And I get that there's this, but like, how does he bring me counsel in the real life today? I want to give you three things. If you've heard me preach for any amount of time, or you've heard, I use this constantly. It's how do we get counsel? How do we know, hear from God? How do we like know what he wants in our lives? I'm going to give you three S's because I'm trying to honor Matt Fry and his alliteration today. I'm going to give you three S's. So the question is, how does Jesus counsel us today? Here it is. The first one is this: Scripture. Scripture. Again, I want to read John 12:49 for you. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything that I have said. Later in the scriptures, it tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. And so, brothers and sisters, if you want to know the counsel of God, pick up your Bible. And I know you've heard me say that 100 times, but you've got to pick up God's word. This morning, woke up pretty early, just tired and felt like my brain was all over the place. And I opened up God's word and just one story out of the Gospel of Mark. Felt like God just gave me a word, just reminding me of his counsel and his word, right? You've got to open God's word. Just go to scripture. If you want to know his counsel, it is there. Number two, the Spirit. The Spirit, we're going to see the Trinitarian action of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. You're like, Brent, I thought, how does Jesus counsel us today? And that's the Spirit. That's the second member of the Trinity. You're right. Hold on. Let's open God's word. It'll help us. This is John 16:7. Jesus is speaking. And he says, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. I'm telling you right now, the disciples were not thinking that was a benefit. The disciples were like, you're going to go where? We like you here. Thank you very much. He's like, it's your benefit. That's his word to us today. It's his benefit if he goes away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor, which is John's word for the Holy Spirit, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. And just a little bit later in John 16, you can go read the whole chapter, but for time, I'm skipping to verse 13. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will not take from what is mine and declare it to you. Because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Do you see the Trinitarian reality here? Jesus doesn't speak unless the Father says it. And Jesus is like, I'm gone and I'm gonna give you the Spirit and he's gonna actually speak what I've said and he's gonna guide you into all truth. He's gonna counsel you. Same word. So he leaves us the Spirit to help us. Like, what does that look like? Here's in my mind, like, I feel like there's moments, maybe a couple times in my life where it felt like an audible voice from God, but here's how it experiences mostly. There's a nudge or impression in your soul that you're like, that's not from me, that's from God. And let me, you're like, Brent, I never have that. Can I tell you, if you want a fertile field for the Spirit of God to speak to you, know God's word because he guides us into all truth and so many of us don't know any truth. So plant some of these seeds in your life and it feels like the Spirit of God speaks so much louder because there's so much more ammo for him to guide you into truth. And he can guide anyone, but we can participate with that. And let me say this, the Spirit will never speak what the scripture does not, ever. In pastoral ministry, there's like jokes, but they're jokes because they actually happen. It's like, Pastor Brent, I feel like the Lord says it's okay for me to sleep with my girlfriend. Really? Because the Spirit does not speak what the Son does not speak, and the Son does not speak what the Father does not speak. It's all the same. Scripture, Spirit, saints. What do the saints say? This is Proverbs 11:14. Without guidance, a people will fall. But with many counselors, there is deliverance. Let's talk about the importance of spiritual family or saints or other Christians to help you in life. Saints can bring discernment and confidence to you. Sometimes, Sometimes in life, we're so overwhelmed. It's super helpful to have another believer speak truth into our lives because we just get discombobulated sometimes and we need someone to speak truth to us. You need the saints because sometimes you just get so like wound up. It's just hard to hear from God. It's hard to remember his truth. And another brother or sister looking at you and speaking the word of God over you is a way that Jesus counsels. But also, the saints can bring clarity. Sometimes you're gonna be wrong and you're gonna miss it. You're gonna ignore scripture. You're gonna ignore the spirit. And a saint needs to come up and say, hey, you're in the wrong here. Or keep going. I'm encouraging you to continue to have faith. We need the saints to help bring counsel as we discern these things in our lives. Have you received the counsel of Jesus today? He's the wonderful counselor, but it's not just like 2,000 years ago Jesus is. He is today. And the way for you to access that, scripture, spirit, and the saints. I want to close this morning, and I want to close with a question. Not necessarily telling you something you need to do this week, but I want to give a question for you to wrestle with. And the power of today's message of Jesus as the wonderful counselor is going to be in your ability to be honest with this question. Would you bow your head with me? I just want you to, in this moment, be still. And here's the question. Where do you go for counsel? Honestly. In parenting. When you're not sure what to do with your career. When you're trying to make a huge financial decision. When you're trying to decide, should I have that conversation with this person? When you're trying to figure out how to repair a broken relationship, where do you go for counsel? Brothers and sisters, the path is well worn to go to Google, Reddit, YouTube, your favorite friend in that topic. Very few are going into the throne room of grace in their time of need and saying, Jesus, help. Jesus Christ, wonderful counselor. And brother and sister, I hope you have a Christmas tree decorated and a nativity set and all of those things. But the power of Christmas for you, it's not the lights, it's the recognition that Jesus wants to counsel you through life. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, the way that starts is you just coming and metaphorically bowing the knee and saying, Jesus, I've tried to fix my life, I can't fix it. The only way out of this mess is to trust you, and will you save me? And he will. Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor. Jesus, we want to just come this morning and confess. Lord, we are so prone to go get information and miss the wisdom of God. And so our request this morning, God, reveal to us what we're putting our trust in. Help us to trust the King of Kings who came fully God, fully human, to lead us as our wonderful counselor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.